Yo.
What it do, y'all? This is Nima Vidati. Over on the other end of the microphone, we got Michael W. Dean.
Yeah.
This is our live call-in show. So you can give us a call at 307-215-5171. Again, that number's 307-215-5171. What does it do, Michael?
Well, you just got back from yet another vacation. The vacation you took after you said... We said, you take more vacations than Obama, and you said, yeah, I'm done for the summer. And then like 2 hours later, you're like, I'm going on vacation.
I had to keep my record from being breakable. So
yeah,
take that, and, Obama. You'll never break it.
And I'm not even going to ask you like where you went or what you did, because we're all tired of that.
Okay.
Everyone's sitting slaving away in their cubicles and sitting in
and
their
like
church
rubbing
pews.
It in their face.
Sitting in their church pews right now, listening surreptitiously under their little dumb robot turd.
Yeah.
You know, they don't want to hear about you having adventures. Oh, go ahead. Yeah. Give me the short version.
We went up to the Guadalupe Mountains.
Okay, cool. So we got some more news here. let's see. Bitcoin, we now take Bitcoin. We are stacking mad Bitcoin. And if you do Bitcoin, back up your wallet. I had a computer failure and thought I lost everything, but didn't because it saved the data, but it couldn't necessarily always do that. So make sure you do that. Someone took up my idea of calling themselves Billy Bitcoin. There's now a Billy Bitcoin on who's a fiend. On the Facebooks. And we're getting more into computer security here, and we're going to do some more extended stuff on that. And there's going to be a bunch more stuff on interviews on the Gumbo. But we think it's far more important for people to be doing things to protect themselves than just complaining about the daily tyranny of the day.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of which, we've been kind of ambivalent about Bitcoin in the past. Have
no
you
more.
Learned anything recently that makes you feel differently? And how do you feel now?
We're gonna be the Donald Trump of Bitcoin, man. We're gonna have mega mega bitcoins.
Mega Bitcoin. And what's a mega Bitcoin, Michael?
That's a million.
A million.
Right now we have 0.801 Bitcoin, which means about 0.8 of a Bitcoin. But that's the beginning of our empire. So if you've got Bitcoins, feed them to the fiends. You can go to our site. There's a link at the top. There's a thing that says say habla Bitcoin. And
yep,
you can get
But that. A Bitcoin's worth more than a dollar, right? What is it now? Like $12 to one Bitcoin?
Yeah.
Although, from what I understand, it fluctuates.
Yeah.
In real time.
Money.
Everything does, yeah.
The other paper funny money does, too. Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
So, I guess, did you address any of the problems? I guess one of the things I was always concerned about Bitcoin is, I suppose one of the things that keeps it from being too inflationary is it's tough to mine Bitcoins. Does that change in the future with more computing power?
Well, it does. And a lot of people jumped in and like bought massive, thought they were going to be the 49ers of it and bought massive arrays
Bitcoin
of,
mining
computers
equipment.
Which and like somebody
you can view people's Bitcoin rigs online. It's
yeah, they have
interesting
Bitcoin mining porn, but and it uses a lot of electricity. A couple people actually got their doors kicked in by the cops because they thought they were growing pot.
Ooh.
And in Canada they got their door kicked in
when in fact they were mining Bitcoin so they could buy pot from Silk Road.
Probably. Yeah. Silk Road is on the dark net. Do you know what the dark net is?
Ooh, I want to come to the dark net.
What
is the dark net?
It's the part of the internet that's not publicly viewable. I've had my toe in the dark net, not the illegal part of it, but Hey.
Hey. Do we have a caller? Hey.
No, but Randy England just added as a Skype contact. He's the actual attorney who's an anarcho-capitalist that I interviewed on the Mumbles. Yeah.
Yay.
Yeah. So did you see this search term that brought someone to our site? Is Mike W. Dean a fake worms-eating statist?
Well, I don't know how to deconstruct that. So you don't eat worms and you're not a statist. So I guess you are a fake worms-eating statist since you're not a worm-eating statist.
No, I think that they meant – I mean, you know, they obviously didn't hyphenate it correctly because they're an internet user trying to poke me. Saying, you know, trolls are all retarded.
What they meant is, are you fake? Do you eat worms? Are you a statist?
Yes.
Well, Michael, why don't you address those accusations?
I've never eaten a worm.
You never eat a worm. You're not fake.
Not even with tequila when I drank tequila. Never ate a worm.
You do exist. I can vouch for that. I've seen Michael on more than one occasion.
So he does exist. There's something called temporal object permanence, which is something that animals of higher consciousness have. Like, for instance, you know when you leave the room that objects in that room still exist. Cats do not have that power. Which is kind of why they're fascinated with everything all the time. So is that related to that dog
IQ test you can do where you show them a ball and then you put the ball under the cup and see if they'll figure out the ball is under the cup?
Yeah, but they could also do it by the smell.
Okay.
Just because a dog can't see something doesn't mean they can't smell it. I mean, if they can smell, you know, a roach in a shipment of bubbles, they could smell that.
Yeah. So the question is, do I know you exist because I'm not in the room with you right now?
Yeah.
I suppose you could have been taken over by the government and turned into a drone, or I'm speaking to your voice downloaded into a computer that's like a software approximation of what Michael would say. So I guess I don't know for sure that you exist currently.
So you think I've been weaponized? You think I'm a Michael of weapons destruction?
I don't. I don't think that, but I guess from where I'm sitting right now, it's impossible to rule it out completely.
It's getting kind of existential for me, man. So
you went there. I didn't go there. You went there.
So a stamp act. Read this about stamp acts. This is pretty awesome. You know, like how they regulate marijuana and guns. This is about the origin of the Stamp Act. You got it there?
Yes, I do. A Stamp Act is any legislation that requires a tax to be paid on the transfers of certain documents. Those that pay the tax receive an official stamp on their documents, making them legal documents. The taxes raised under a Stamp Act are called stamp duty. This system of taxation was first devised in the Netherlands in 1624 after a public competition to find a new form of tax.
That's the part I liked. I wanted to read it. Like, that is so square, man. Gee, honey, did you see this? I'm going to enter this competition to come up with a new form of tax.
Who would enter that? Wow.
We're meeting statist fakes.
It's like the slaves having a competition to see who could design the best whip.
The best shackle.
I would like to be whipped. Yes. A nice, comfy, fuzzy shackle. That's what my design is. Wow. In 1624, huh? That's so long ago. I didn't know it dated back that far.
Well, the Dutch are, you know, I mean, your people invented the state. Pretty much.
You're talking about the Persian Empire.
The Persians invented the state. Arabs invented mathematics and coffee, which is pretty cool. But the Dutch invented like tax stamps and corporations.
I want to deflect here, being a Persian, because according to Ben Stone, theorizes, again, it's just a theory, it's not substantiated, that Jericho was the first state, which wouldn't be Persian, but it'd be in the same general region. But
okay. Yeah, the Arabs...
I guess the Persians did do a lot to advance the state. They invented what they call satraps, which are jurisdictions where you could have, you know, a satrapy or somebody to govern so the empire could expand further and still have somebody local to tyrannize and be the boots on the ground, so to speak. Roads, too. Roads were very greatly advanced by the Persian Empire. So the statists loved the roads, and the Persians did help to do that. So statists, you should like Iran.
Well, you should like coffee, too, because coffee drove a lot of good things also, which ended up being used for drones. But the Arabs invented coffee cultivation, and shortly after they started drinking it, they invented mathematics and the concept of the zero. And then, much later, right before the Industrial Revolution, coffee was brought to England, and then the Industrial Revolution happened. Did we talk about this before?
No, I don't think we have talked about it before.
Yeah, so... Huh.
So you credit coffee for the Industrial Revolution.
And then, you know, you combine coffee and math. I mean, the Industrial Revolution and mathematics, and eventually you end up with drones. So coffee's fault.
So the Arabs made their own bed, and now they must sleep in it while a Hellfire missile goes through their window.
Ugh. Ew.
That's dark.
That's dark.
That's darknet stuff.
It's right. Not darknet stuff.
We apologize for ourselves, but please do hang on. We're going to have plenty more fiends coming up for you here.
We're going to sell you some stuff now.
Yeah.
Worms. Yes.
Michael asks, can he start talking to Nima again? Yes, you can start talking to Nima again. And if you're a listener and you want to talk to Nima again.
I was complaining about your vacations.
Michael's just bitter. But if you want to be...
Yeah, go ahead, man. Go ahead. Yeah. Talk.
Sure.
Give out the number.
I will. It's 307-215-5171. Please call us. Please.
Or Skype. Right, the username, kittyfeet1. So...
Oh, yeah. Or so email. Talkback. Talkback at freedomfiends.com. That's it.
Or rapid share.
Retro share
PGP key at 146-823-4567-1892345600101011. We'll talk about retro share next Wednesday, but retro share
we should spend some more time on that.
It's a private way to email somebody without going through email servers. It's peer-to-peer emailing. It's pretty cool.
Yes, it is awesome.
So Nima,
what's up?
I turned down $1,000 of easy money this week.
Why would you do that, Michael?
Because a politician asked me to make another TV ad for him, the same guy that I made one for two years ago.
Okay. In that case, I don't... Well, yeah, I guess I don't blame you. I mean, if you don't want to feel like you're dirty after doing work, then don't take jobs that would make you feel dirty. So
yeah. Okay. I said, I wish you luck, but I'm not doing commercials for any politicians ever. I'm done with that game.
I've retired.
I have.
I don't want to follow in Karl Rove's footsteps.
I don't, man. I don't want to be the Frank Luntz of Wyoming.
Yeah.
And you know,
how did this politician take that? Was he like, but we could defeat the Democrats?
Didn't write back. Well, he's running unopposed too, so he'll be fine.
What does he want an ad then?
I know.
Well, also, is it more than just the philosophical purity, or is it also the fact that this politician personally let you down with the way he acted in office?
It's more that I don't want to feel responsible for a politician letting me down. It's more like I feel like if I do work for somebody, I'm backing whatever they do, and I can't back what any politicians do. It's really less about him, although, you know, kind of like not him in particular, but being involved in Wyoming politics made me an anarchist. But, it was, you know, being involved in politics anywhere would have made me an anarchist at this point. But
right.
You know,
you're hating the game, not the player.
Right, right. I'd still go, you know, shooting bunnies with that guy or something. But yeah.
Okay. Well, good move. A good example of how to advance liberty through your personal actions in your own life. Don't take jobs that further the state. I guess in the end, self-preservation is more important. So if you're starving,
it's, you know. People's integrity is based on how hungry they are. You know, if I were about to get evicted or something and the money did it, I might have done it because I feel like I can do more work from a house than from the library and the street.
Right.
But and I've been homeless.
Just like a vegetarian would maybe kill or a Muslim would kill a pig if they were stranded on a desert island and starving.
Yeah. You know, but I'm not rolling in the dough too. I mean, $1,000 would be friggin' nice. I could go buy some things, but yeah. So I was comfortable enough to turn it down, I guess is what it comes down to. Everyone's got their price.
Would you buy more guns, or what is Michael W. Dean?
I've stopped talking about what I buy now. I'm getting more into security, man. I'm getting to the point where it's like, I don't even know if I want to do a podcast. And it's not a chilling effect. It's more like, dude, I've been standing on a street corner yelling my business for years. Speaking of which, if you'd like to read a totally, I did an interview with Dale Everett from Flaming Freedom on the Anarchy Gumbo, kittyfeet.com if you want to check it out, which he described on his own podcast as a TMI interview.
Those are the best, aren't they?
I know. And if you want to read a TMI book I wrote, it was the first book I wrote. It's called Starving in a Company of Beautiful Women. People have been asking me about it lately. It's on paperback, but it's way out of print. Came out in 2000. This paperback's used for a lot of money on Amazon, but I'm going to put up the PDF in the show notes of this episode.
Yes.
And this episode is called Stacking Mad Bitcoin, Bitches.
Oh, yeah. And that's our big finger flipping the bird at IP. But, you know, you could also show some love and donate to Michael. I'm sure he would appreciate that.
Yeah. Nah, donate to the fiends, man. We're coming.
Okay.
We sure
we're a commune. There's no property in the fiendom.
Oh, well, there is, but you know, I agreed to give you your one third for the work you do.
Where's my fair share, Michael?
Yeah. It's, well, you know, I do about 60 times as much hours as you do, but you are you, and that makes it important.
Well, I've been having attendance problems. So vacations are over.
You've been stealing from the fiends, man. I can't even get you on the phone or the emails for weeks at a time sometimes.
Yeah, well, when you're in the wilderness, it's hard to get phone calls.
And that's why you go to the wilderness, and that's why I never do.
Yeah. Although, you never feel like you just – I guess we've had this conversation before, but – You don't think you'll ever feel like you just want to get away and go to an island or a mountain?
I have a big backyard, man.
Not deal with anybody.
I just go in the backyard. I did that yesterday. I went in the backyard and laid in the sun with my cat for almost 45 minutes. That was my vacation. Then I came back in and got on the computer.
Okay.
To help spread liberty. You know, speaking of which, we're looking for someone who's a committed fan who doesn't want to be committed for being a fan, but knows how to use BitTorrent and wants to start putting either individual episodes or zips of our episodes up on Pirate Bay and BitTorrent and all the BitTorrent places and seeding it until it's got and we'll promote it. But I've been talking to these really smart cracker hacker dudes and cap dudes.
How do you know they're crackers if they're so secure?
I don't know if they're crackers. Oh, crackers? You mean
that's,
like white?
That's racist. Crackers was that's not what you meant.
They're actually white hat hackers, if you want to talk about whiteness. But they're security guys.
Wait. Define that term. I've never heard that. White hat hackers?
Yeah, it's hackers that don't, you know, break crap, that like do security work for other people. White hat hackers are hackers that are paid to keep black hat hackers out. You know, companies will hire them.
They hack only in self-defense or somebody they're contracting
exactly.
for.
Exactly. Okay. And and they basically said, you know, if the government wants to shut you down, it doesn't care. They don't care that, you know, they don't just take your domain name. They take your servers. They take the whole rack of servers. And it's like, I said, how can that be prevented? And they're like, well, you get everything up on Bitcoin, BitTorrent.
Yeah. Well, that's what I wonder, too, because maybe it was a joke, but they joked about the Pirate Bay folks joked about using drones to fly their servers in the air so they'd be unreachable. Which I guess they wouldn't, because governments have a monopoly on airspace.
Yeah, but that's the servers of the torrent. And, you know, we can actually serve the torrents, and people can email the torrent to people. And then when you put it on, when you download it and then you seed it, you are the server. And the server is every fiend around the world that's serving it. And they can't take them all out.
Right. That's true.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, excellent. So I guess the moral of the story is, if you want something that's impenetrable or can't be defeated by goons coming in and breaking up your server, put it on BitTorrent.
Well,
and we've got
share it with everybody. That's the point. You get everybody to share it instead of one person to share it. You decentralize.
Excellent.
So we're going to go sell some more stuff, man.
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's sell some stuff.
It's about to be sold.
Want to search porn in private? Or maybe you just want to talk to your friends without some tech goon hired off a pizza box snooping through your private thoughts. MetroPipe VPN is a secure computing service operated by privacy-loving anarcho-capitalists. Accounts can be had for as little as $7.50 a month. They take Bitcoin, don't keep any logs, and hate nanny intrusions as much as you do. Get a 25% discount by going to metropipe.net/fiends. That's metropipe.net/fiends. Would you like to advertise your product or service to a large built-in audience of liberty-loving consumers who truly dig the free market? Freedom Fiends is now selling ad space. Slots are reasonably priced, but limited, so contact us today. Write the fiends at talkback@freedomfiends.com. That's talkback@freedomfiends.com.
Yo, yeah. It's the fiends. Yeah. What do? All right.
What's up, man?
Chilling. So should we give out the number?
Yeah.
Yeah, let's do it. Okay. You can call us The Fiends live at 307-215-5171. Go ahead and do it. I dare you. I double dog dare you.
Yeah. I heard that anarchist superstar Nikki Darling is going to call in.
Ah, excellent.
She's named after a really filthy line in a filthy Prince song.
Hmm.
I don't know if her parents like named it. I don't know if her parents
I don't
named
know if I can but. Recall the line. What's the line?
Something about masturbating with a magazine in a hotel lobby, I think.
Okay, I think
I love Prince. Prince is great, man. Prince is great.
Yeah.
You can't be into funky music like you know, like you can't be into hip hop and not love Prince, I think.
I probably agree. I agree. Although I've heard it said from a friend of mine that if you like Prince more than Michael Jackson, that means you like sex more than you like music.
Really? I think it means you like adult women more than you like little boys.
Ouch! Burn.
Wait, is that saying that like Michael Jackson's music is more musical than Prince's music?
I guess. You don't feel that
Fiend
way?
Fiend phone.
No, I like Prince's music better.
Fiend.
Hey, okay. This is Chandler.
This is. What's up, guys?
What's up, Chandler? Ah, Nikki missed her chance to call in. Ah, wait. Hey, can we have you call back? We got a star calling in here. Not a star, but a woman. Women never call in. All right,
cool.
Thanks. Hey, Nikki Darling, what's up?
Worms.
I think you're the third woman to ever call into this show other than Nima's mother and Nima's sister.
Oh, good. You need more vagina on the show.
Need more vagina in everything.
Can you speak a little louder there, Nikki, or I'm having trouble hearing you?
Let me turn up my volume. Can you hear that?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, good.
What's on your mind today? I said you said you were going to call in. You didn't want to call in because you're empty-headed, and I said I like that in a woman, and you said you liked that, so you called in. What's up?
Yeah, I am feeling a little empty-headed, but, well, first of all, I just want to tell you guys that the Lemonade Freedom Day and Raw Milk Day went excellent yesterday.
Yes.
It was headed up by Eddie Free and Robert Fernandez, and we had a whole cast of characters out there. Derek J., Pete Ayer, just all those people were out there, all the activists. It was really awesome. No cops. They did not even come by at all. We had a few people... A few tourists drove by and yelled Obama at us.
Obama will protect us from the raw milk.
Wow.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, and we were at dinner afterwards, and a lady saw Danny Panzella's t-shirt that said, "My body, my choice." And she came up and said, "Oh, that's really cool. Let me just show you my new iPhone cover." And she pulled it out, and it said Obama 2012 on it. And Danny was like, "Oh, no, I don't think you understand us." And then after we were paying our bill, she came up again and said, "Hey, New Jersey boy, check out my phone. Ha, 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 ha." And we all were like, "Boo." We're just like booing at the lady.
Women must be really stupid to think that. I love that beginning. Yeah,
yeah,
we're politically correct here. Women must be really stupid to think they need a great man to let them do what they want with their bodies.
Exactly. That's what everyone said. I mean, everyone at our table was like, "Yeah, I guess Obama owns your body, lady, you know, and you're
take
really
me.
He's letting you do what you want with your body now. Woohoo." But we were kind of overpowered by a feminist protest that was going on the Capitol lawn as well. So,
are you a feminist?
No.
No.
I mean, I love being a woman and I love women, but I think that all rights are human rights, not just women's rights, African American rights, or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
Excellent.
I like that in a woman.
Yeah. So, but one thing I did want to talk about was like internet panhandling. I don't know how you guys feel about panhandling in general.
Well, we kind of do it, but we also kind of hate it. I mean, we do it in a kind of tongue-in-cheek way, and our world won't end if we don't get nickels and dimes. But I get really offended when I see, like, I played in rock bands, and I went out and worked, and people paid us to starve to death. And now it's like, you know, people put up Kickstarter things and say, like, finance our tour. And I'm like, what? You want me to work and send you money so you can go out and bang chicks all across the country and play your crappy music? No way.
Well, you guys provide a service, and therefore, if people feel it's worth donating to, then they can. But recently,
we see the difference as we're like the guy on the street corner playing guitar or saxophone with a hat.
With the tip jar.
So when we'd ask for donations, it's a tip jar kind of thing.
Yeah, you guys don't just have a sign that says, I need a bottle of booze, give me money.
Yeah, and I would only ever give booze to panhandlers that entertain me. Like, you know, there was this guy in San Francisco that I used to give money to sometimes because he had the funniest sign I ever seen. It was a black dude, and he said, he had a sign that said, donate to the United Negro Pizza Fund. That was worth a buck.
Yeah, good lines are kind of funny, yeah. So, I agree with that. But I wanted to talk about something that I was involved in recently that ruined my entire week, and I'm on a, you know how I use e-cigarettes, so I'm on an online vaping network sort of television thing.
Find us a new advertiser. We lost Vaporsmiths, and I am vaping my second to the last cartomizer as we speak. So get on there and get someone to give the fiends money to advertise their e-cigs if you can, please.
Definitely.
Third-party panhandling.
Yes.
I can send you some cartomizers if you're really hard up.
Too. Nah, I like cigarettes.
Oh, shut up.
We want advertisers.
Okay, I can find out.
But thank you.
Yeah, I have plenty of card misers.
So anyway.
But anyway, so this guy, one of the hosts on the network, he came forth and said, I've been laid off of my job. I have no money. I'm going to be evicted on Sunday. So me and a friend went up to Philly. We picked him up. I brought him down to my house. I let him stay here with the intention that within a week he was going to get out and our vaping network was going to do a fundraiser for him online where people were going to donate items. We were going to raffle them off, and he was going to make a lot of money for doing nothing. So this guy came to my house, and he slept all day. He didn't take his dog out. His dog shit all over my floor. He didn't offer to help. I fed him three meals a day. I cooked. I brought it, you know, to him every morning. No thank you, no money, no nothing in return. And he got $500 in cash by the time he left. And he found a ride down to Florida, so he hardly spent a dime, and he's going to stay with more people. And it's just this whole mentality of, like, users online, like, oh, I lost my job.
Well, I think it's better than stealing or doing it by proxy through government. But, you know, when I was younger, we had a name for that. It was bums. You know, a couch surfer turns into a bum after 3 days. And anybody who is homeless or wants to not work, I'll give you some advice that this guy should have had before he stayed at your house. My sister told me this when I was a little kid when she got back from being an exchange student in South Africa. She said, you know, Michael, you can stay anywhere in the world you want rent-free as long as you can do dishes without being asked and converse intelligently in the native tongue. And it sounds like this guy didn't either.
No, he didn't offer to help do anything. Unfortunately, he blamed a lot of it on his depression, and he's also severely obese. So that the combination was terrible.
Wow.
So, yeah, it was pretty bad. And so I also see a lot of this kind of in the Liberty community, too. Like, you know, online on Facebook, people just kind of begging for money. And
well, I see it even with people who are providing, who are doing something cool. Like, I see a lot of filmmakers now begging for money online. Like, here's our trailer. Help us get the film finished. And I'm like, when I was your age, when I started making digital film before you could hold a cell phone camera back in 1998, I financed it myself. I got people to donate, but I didn't like hold it hostage and say like, this can't get made. Liberty will not be progressed if you don't know donate. Yeah, I get pretty sick of a lot of it. There's a lot of people who, you know, it's, there's better ways to run your life.
Well, if you really are passionate about your art, get a part-time job, deliver pizzas, tables and make your art.
How many of the greatest, you know, novelists worked day jobs? I mean, Hemingway was a newspaper writer and war correspondent, and like went into battle and got shot at. He wasn't shooting, but he was in battles being a war correspondent to finance his book writing before it really took off. He was,
That's almost worse because he can't shoot back.
Yeah.
you know,
if you look at, the guy that wrote, what's the Las Vegas one that Johnny Depp starred in the movie?
Oh, Fear Clothing?
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. That guy was
Hunter S. Thompson
was a newspaper writer. Hey, do you want to stick around and talk some more after we sell some more stuff here, Nikki?
Sure.
All right, cool. We like selling stuff. We're not begging, we're selling.
I know.
Yeah, yeah.
They'll probably pay our begging ad right now. Play our begging ad.
We're not saying the freedom fees are the true
yep,
path.
They
the
are.
Listen
to this.
A good one.
Can you hear this, Nikki?
If you want to put your voluntarist money where your mouth is, consider making a donation to the Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on
That's
any
embarrassing.
Post. Then make a one-time gift via
PayPal. Oh, my
PayPal,
God.
Or set up a monthly contribution of as little as $3. Giving to the Freedom Fiends helps advance education
Hypocrite.
On horizontal liberation
Oh, we
throughout
gotta
the world.
Address that
the
when we come back.
We work hard,
yeah, yeah.
So send us some money.
Should you be able to earn an honest living?
Should decisions on what you put in your body be left up to people whose very job depends on keeping certain plants illegal? Or do you believe in freedom of ingestion? The Janome Project is a cannabis science community founded by a leading DNA scientist. We fight ignorance with information. We don't have all of the answers, but we put all of our proceeds into finding them. If this requires sequencing the genomes of a forbidden plant, we've done it. If it requires leaving the country for the free pursuit of science, we've done that as well. The Janome Project is an ongoing crowdsourced experiment in free pursuit of the truth on cannabinoid sciences. Join us and participate in studying Mary Jane's genome. Get the app by searching Jane-Ohm on iTunes. The app is only $1.99 and all proceeds go to furthering and disseminating scientific truth. You must be 17 or older to download the app. Search Janome on iTunes. That's Jane-Ohm.
About a woman in Texas. Do you want to go ahead and start over again?
Nah, I don't want to talk about the tyranny today. I want to talk about Nikki. What's up, Nikki?
All right.
What's up?
So you're not allowed to say, like, curse words on the show, right?
Fuck no. Do not fucking swear on our fucking podcast.
Well, I thought you weren't allowed to on LRN.
Says who? Who's our
boss?
We
don't know, man.
Who's our boss? We don't know, actually. We don't. We have no idea.
Just do whatever you feel like. It's freedom here at Freedom
Fiends. I'm naked.
Nice. Okay. I'm in
It's not nice. I'm 48, man. Come on.
You're really not that bad, Michael.
Thanks, young lady.
You're welcome.
Thanks, young lady.
Anyway, you guys do work for your donations that you get. I would donate because I love the service that you provide. So.
Oh, you know, we have to mention the embarrassment of me going off on, I think these youngsters begging for money are horrible. And then it's like the ad comes on. It's like, hi, send Freedom Fiends money because we work hard.
but again, we're not holding it hostage. We're not saying donate or you won't get to hear the next Freedom Fiends episode.
Yeah. I mean, literally, like that's our expenses are between $30 and $40 a month right now. If we never got another cent in, I'd pay that. I wouldn't take any food off my table. And, you know, if Nima ever gets a job, he'd chip in on it. we like getting money, and it allows us to do more things. And if we got a bunch of money, we'd probably start taking out ads on, like Free Talk Live does on Google. But, you know, we put it back into the cast. But we don't need your money. We just want your money. Whereas these young whippersnappers today, let me tell you, if you really want to finance something, do it right. Do what I did on my first movie. I got a $5,000 grant from a private foundation for my first movie.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, don't hit your friends up for nickels and dimes. Go to foundationcenter.org, set up an account. I believe it's foundationcenter.org. It's something called the Foundation Center. You set up an account, and you can go through their archives and do searches based on, like, people, foundations that give money to certain things. Now, you're going to have a lot better chance funding a movie that's about, like, you know, left-handed liberal lesbian from Dominica who are single mothers and fighting for Obama from most of these agencies than you are, you know, doing something about why we need to get rid of fiat currency. But not all of them. I mean, some of them are like the Ford Foundation and stuff and the Koch brothers and who knows what else. But, you know, you don't need to beg for nickels and dimes. Write a fucking treatment and write a proposal and do it right. And Foundation Center will tell you how to do that, you damn cyber hippies bums.
Yeah, that's a really good idea. Did you hear about Paul Fest coming up?
No.
It's in what's Tampa. That? It's a big week-long Ron Paul Fest.
Ew.
And one of the key speakers is somebody that you mentioned on your last podcast, which was really funny. And there's a win a date with him.
Oh, what's his name? I think
I know who
Adam,
you're talking about.
Adam Kokesh.
Yeah, I didn't really want to say his name.
So he's auctioning himself off.
Yes, for a date with Adam Kokesh.
You could not pay me. No, I'm sorry.
I just thought that was funny. And they're auctioning off like a guitar and, you know, some random things.
Do you too. If you win the date, he'll do you. That guy's a poon hound, man.
Wow.
I know things. I know inside things.
Okay. I could probably tell you some more then later on off air.
Did you do them?
No.
Okay. Tell me more. Make up fake names and tell me more.
No, I can't. I can't spread people's business on.
I can, but I won't.
No, but.
So what's the Paul Fest for? Are people not over politics yet? Is that what's going on?
Exactly. Well, you know how they're doing the march on the RNC, the Veterans for Ron Paul? I just pimped them. I shouldn't have. But that's
okay.
What they're doing. They're going to march, and they're also doing a big rally, and people are getting together. It's going to be like a Ron Paul Pork Fest or something.
It's better than Veterans for Let's Kill More Brown People. I mean, come on. It's it's like, halfway there.
Yeah.
And Adam's an anarchist, and he's speaking at this thing. He's like anarchist light. What's his deal, man?
Well, he did say he wanted to be the anarchist president, and that made chortle a lot. So, whatever. Chortle.
I like that word.
Yeah, whatever he wants to do, whatever, I don't care. That's fine.
Yeah.
I just don't pay attention to it anymore.
Well, why'd you bring it up then?
Well, no, because I thought you guys would find a live date with him.
Yes. That is hilarious. I do appreciate it. I'm just razzing you.
We had a win a date with the Fiends, and a man won and went out to lunch with Nemo. It wasn't a gay thing. It was just they hung out.
It was a bromance.
Yeah. A bromance. It totally was a bromance. Yeah.
That was awesome.
Oh, I forgot to mention your kid brother was there yesterday, too. Garrett.
My kid brother?
Yeah, Garrett. Full woman, Annie.
And his full woman, Annie? What?
No, beautiful.
Oh. She said full, like she was full of raw milk. You know, I used to drink raw milk when I was a kid. It's funny because everyone's like discovering it now. And like I had it when I was a kid, didn't really like it. We'd go to my aunt's house, 10 miles away, at a farm. And I'd drink it. The first time I had it, I was like, what's this chunky stuff on top of this milk? And they're like, that's cream. This is unpasteurized raw milk. I'm like, okay. And I kind of learned to like it. And I remember one time when I was about 8 there, I was looking out the window and I was like, Mommy, Daddy, the cows are trying to jump on each other. And then they told me how life works. It was kind of cool. I learned at a farm.
Yeah. Well, I think raw milk is pretty good for you. I've done some research online. And I don't know. You can't get it here, though. So.
I'm stopping milk. My wife's out shopping right now for us to start the paleo diet.
Ah.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I stopped milk 2 days ago, which is probably why I'm so cranky. I'm going through withdrawal. I drink about a gallon of milk a day, man.
Yeah. And I remember working on Guns and Weed with you, and you would always have – you would fill up half a giant beer mug, like a 24-ounce beer mug, half with milk and half with coffee, and you drink like 4 of those a day.
4 of those a morning.
Yeah.
Well, you got to get rid of your coffee, too, on paleo,
hey,
right?
Hey, Eddie Freeze calling. Should we take him?
Yes.
I'm going to take him. Thanks for calling in, man. Call in anytime, please. We liked it. Hello, Eddie Free. Eddie Free's got a video on. I'm looking at Eddie Free. Get up a little higher. I can only see your nose up. Yeah. Yeah. You look like a young, sexy Alex Jones, Eddie. Can you see
Nima? I like that.
Nima,
we're going double, triple viral.
I kind of look like Alex Jones, too. People confuse me with him. I think in the Guns and Weed movie, when I'm playing the bad cop, I really look like Alex Jones.
You actually do. But in the younger years of Alex Jones.
Yeah, here, you want to see me? No, but I'll turn me on. Let me get the camera working here.
I really must.
If
you really
must, okay.
Fuck you.
So Eddie's got his video on.
Here you go. Can you see me?
Yes, look at that sexy man.
Yo, what's up, man? Show you my
Eddie, is Michael really naked?
Let's
was he lying or is he really naked?
He's showing me his bare chest.
Oh, yeah. I guess
I'll
so.
I'll get naked. Here, I'll get naked for
you. Oh, he's taking it off now. Look at that.
Wow.
Yeah. Come on, man. Come on, motherfucker.
Oh, my God. Please,
we're becoming the Howard Stern of Liberty Media, I guess.
Yeah, we are. Come on, man. Let's bump bellies. Bump bellies, Eddie. Come on.
All right. Hold on.
Eddie and I both have, like, good upper body strength and then bellies. Come on.
There it is.
I think I will go on another vacation.
You got a bad Quaker t-shirt on there, man, huh?
You like that?
Yeah, where'd you get that?
Man, listen, Kai showed up to the Lemonade Freedom Day yesterday, and so she gave me one.
Cool. I heard Kai is telling people never to give me her phone number, which I've never thought of wanting her phone number, but now I kind of want it because she doesn't want me to call her at 4 a.m. and ask her to podcast like I do with her dad. What, Nemo?
I'm saying I think she was just making fun of the fact that you call her dad at 3 and 4 a.m.
Yeah, and I'd never call anybody who doesn't want me to call them. That's a property rights issue, but yes, I will make fun of them on the internet about it.
Michael's like a stray cat when it comes to podcasting. If you podcast with them once, he'll always be knocking at your doors. Hey, you want a podcast? You want a podcast?
Yo.
Like, well, I called a friend of mine one time. I you can go online and get those soundboards of different celebrity. Holy cow, that is sweet. What is that there, Michael?
That is a 38 special revolver from Charter Arms. It's a it weighs 15 ounces loaded. It's made of airplane titanium aluminum.
Yeah, I like the two-tone. That's awesome.
Yeah. They have pimp versions of it that are like purple and gold too. And they have a pink one for the ladies in that model. It's the same gun, but it's pink and it's called the Cougar.
Oh, right on. Hey, have you seen the Hello Kitty AK-47s?
Yeah.
No, those I haven't. Those are... Where can I get
Michael
one?
Michael said it like, yeah. Whoa. Mm. Was that M1? I can't tell.
No, it's a, let me make sure it's not loaded. Okay. No, that's a, what's the commie guns, Nima?
Mosin Nagant.
Mosin Nagant. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mosin Nagant.
Yeah. You gonna stay on for more here, Eddie?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, cool. Cool. You look sexy.
We're gonna go pay the bills.
You're kinda tired.
We'll have Eddie on after.
Yeah.
I'm tired as hell. I'm on 1 hour of sleep.
Cool. Do you wanna just sleep and leave the camera on?
He wants to watch you.
Worms.
I think Fiends. Michael wants to.
Not good.
Yeah.
Yo.
Yo.
It's the Fiends live.
It's the Fiends really live and naked and exposed. We just got an email that said that it's not going to the commercial. So if Ian's listening, well, Ian would know. I better write Ian. They're not hearing the commercials. They're hearing us. God, what are we saying? I mean, I think I said some things like, fuck people. I don't care about people. I just want them to send me money. They're all a bunch of fucking insignificant worms, man. Didn't I say that?
I think you said that. I don't know.
What did I say?
Wow. We said some harsh stuff, man. So the world really knows the real Eddie Free
personalities.
And Michael Dean and Nima Vedati and what we say when we think no one's... We basically just bugged our own houses without knowing it. All right.
Yeah. Well, where do we go from there?
I'm going to write her.
That sucks.
So, Diana, how embarrassing was it? Write me on the Facebooks and tell me. Yeah. So, talk about... Okay. Let's do a save here. Talk about what happened yesterday there, Eddie.
Man, it was awesome. We set up, you know, at 12 o'clock, we probably had, I don't know, maybe about 50 people there. It grew to 100. Easily 100 people showed up. And then there were tourists coming in. We brought in the lemonade. We brought in milk. And we sold it. We got people were buying milk from us with silver. They were even using the Shire silver cards. I got some dime cards. And, of course, they paid with the fiat money. We made over $200. And, you know, the dollar in 1913, we made the equivalent of $4,000 that day to we're going to give it to the farmers that donated, and then of course some of the activists that traveled to help us with this event. So but let me tell you, man, I didn't see any cops, nothing. I swear, last week there must have been men on telephones screaming at each other all through the FDA building, wondering what the hell they were going to do. And they decided that they were going to stand down and that they didn't want, you know, any more light shed on the aggression that they're committing against all these farmers.
It sounds like that to me.
I'm still trying to think about what we said between the breaks.
I'm starting to remember
what we said.
I think I said, I don't give a shit about this libertarian stuff. I'm just in it for the money and the bitches, man. Fuck these idiots. They're all a bunch of fucking zombies.
Dude, everybody already knows that.
Okay, didn't I say that?
You just said it now.
Okay, sorry, go on. Talk about your teat fest.
What else? I don't know what else, man. It was awesome. We had a great time. No police. We were there for several hours. There were women and children, mothers, fathers, families. It was what we were, you know, what we wanted it to be, a celebration, a picnic, and
well, I want to know ass. how do you take the fact that the goons didn't show up and try to bust it up or give you any good video of them tyrannizing you?
No.
Do you think that's a win?
No, I think what happened yesterday is just as dramatic as seeing something like, you know, the cops aggressing. What we saw yesterday was a victory. In fact, I just sent you a link to the video that that me and my buddy finished, and you know, and that's what it was. It was just celebratory. We had a great time, and I thought that was dramatic. Me personally, I'd rather see these victories than see the police bashing down my friends. You know.
Excellent.
So
where are you gonna win next, Eddie? What's next on the Eddie Free planning board? Because it does sound kind of like a victory there. Any other things in the works along those lines?
Well, a lot of times people will ask me, hey, what kind of activism are you going to do next? And usually it's up to the state. It's up to the police. They're going to do something that's going to, you know, piss us off, and, you know, we'll end up creating an event around it. But after this, I met so many great activists from the food freedom side of this. And we're already planning something in September at a farmer's market in New York. So we're going to do the same thing again. We're going to exchange certain black market products to the public.
Excellent. Yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah.
I like what you do, man.
Thanks, man. You know, we had Derek J that came down and stayed with me from Derek J's Victimless Crime Spree. He started his tour with our event. And so we got some good footage of him, and man, there were just so many people were there. Nathan Cox, Meg McLean, Cassie Dill, Pete Ayer from Coplot.org, Clyde Voluntarist from Never Take a Plea. When you see the footage, man, it's awesome. It's awesome. It's how we all came together. And, you know, actually, it was these two different groups. It was, you know, our kind of, you know, our liberty group that, you know, those of us that do the civil disobedience and that kind of thing. And then the food activists. And we all came together and created this just synergy. And, you know, we had a much larger turnout than I actually expected, you know.
Do you think a lot of the food activists that maybe weren't voluntarists are sort of starting to get the message and maybe broadening their view of the state infringing on all types of freedoms, not just food freedoms?
Yeah, I think so. You know, Friday we did a rights workshop where a lot of, you know, these farmers and these mothers showed up, and they wouldn't have necessarily, you know, categorized themselves as being voluntarists or anything like that. But they at least got to see our side, our perspective. So, but you know, Nima, I mean, these things, it takes a little bit. So, you know, some of these people were probably, you know, exposed to the ideas of anarcho-capitalism and voluntarism for the first time. So I know, if anything, they left there thinking about some of this, some of these ideals. Right.
You planted a seed.
Well, that's it, and that's all we can do. You know, sometimes I'll start talking to someone, and they'll just, you know, really just have an argument for every little thing, which is fine. I mean, I can understand that, and I can direct you to sources, but you know, I tend not to waste throwing my pearls to swine. I mean, if they don't really get the ideas of the non-aggression principle, then you know, then fine. You know, maybe that's a wasted seed. But yeah, but that's how you do it, man. You plant seeds. I've had friends come back to me, you know, 10 years after the fact of me telling them something about, I don't know, the Federal Reserve or whatever, and, you know, say, Eddie, man, you're right. Tell me more about this. So it's vital that we plant the seeds, Nima.
Oh, completely. I agree. I think you can nurture the seeds too. I don't think it's just plant the seed and then walk away. I've got people that come to me and they're like, well, I agree with you on most things, but, you know, how would this work or how would that work? And, you know, usually it's something very specific, like what would happen if there was a riot in your world? And it's like, I don't know, man. It would be solved nonviolently. I hope.
That's a trip, man. I've had friends from high school, you know, when I got on Facebook or whatever, but friends that I hadn't even spoken to since high school, and I'd been friends with for, you know, maybe a couple of years on Facebook, and just out of the blue, they'll send me a question, you know, about you know, something dealing with a liberty issue or a police accountability issue or something like that. So that always kind of blows me away. And, you know, I forget about who all's on my Facebook and looking at the things that I do.
Yeah, yeah. But at least then you know the seed is at least sprouting. It might not grow to a full-blown anarcho-capitalist plant, but at least it's sprouting. And I think that that's always a good sign. When people are asking questions and just instead of just saying, oh, well, then you'd have an anarchy and there'd be blood in the streets. I think that's encouraging.
It is. Well, it's all, yeah, when someone's asking questions, you know, they're definitely involved in or, you know, interested, and those are the people to go after.
Totally, totally.
Yeah.
All right, Eddie. Anything else you wanted to mention about the future for Eddie Free or freedom or
well,
anything?
I do want to plug my website. I've just set it up now, and actually, it's my first website ever. And
welcome to the computer age, there, Eddie.
Right. Well, I mean, yeah, I've been.
We're over here, Facebook. Like in the dark net and stuff, and you're like. I got my Shelford AOL account. I'm just pulling your leg. What's your email address?
I'm going to start sending you dad spam, so watch that. Yeah, but anyway, so my website, thevoluntariestexperience.com. So check that out, folks, and I will keep people updated with what I'm doing.
And we will link your raw milk thing. Ooh, Kai Vick's calling. We're going to take this, man. She's going to yell
absolutely.
At me.
Absolutely. Later.
Thanks, man. Bye.
Thanks, Eddie.
Kai Vick, you're on.
Hey, so can you hear me?
Yeah, yeah.
This is the first time I'm using this whole Skype thing.
Yeah.
So I hear that I've been called out and I've been
narco. Yeah, yeah. I won't call you. I won't call you, ever.
Michael wants them digits now.
You can call me all you want. I almost never have cell phone service, and when I do, I don't call the phone, or I don't answer the phone, because I'm a phone.
We're going to keep you on here for after we go sell some things. We're going into a selling block here, where we have some anarcho-capitalism going on.
Yay, selling.
Yay.
Yay.
And keep in mind that they can hear us during the commercials for some reason today, so, yeah, I don't know why that is.
Back. We got Freedom Kai Freedom. On the line. What's up, Kai?
Hey, everybody.
Kai is on the Bad Quaker podcast with Ben Stone.
Yeah, with my dad.
Yeah, I didn't know that. You know, you guys never used to mention that. When I first started listening to you before I talked to either of you, and I saw pictures of you, I thought he was some, like, dirty old biker and you were his young girlfriend.
That's creepy, too.
It is creepy, but that's what I thought. I was like, wow, what a weird pairing of people.
Well, they corrected because then every episode subsequently, they like said it four times. That after, father-daughter yeah. anarcho-capitalist podcast team.
I probably am the reason they say that.
Yeah, we started mentioning it more once I stopped doing the podcast often. Once I kind of took a break from it a little bit, now that I'm only doing it occasionally, we like to mention that.
Okay. So what have you been up to lately, Kai?
I'm hanging out in Maryland. I just went to the Raw Milk and Lemonade Freedom Day yesterday. That was fun.
Awesome. Nice. How'd that go?
Everybody we've talked to so far has been there. That's like the place to be, I guess.
Yeah, well, it was a lot of fun once I actually managed to get there. The getting there portion of it was a little bit hectic, but after that, it was fun. And I had to wander around and try to find the protest because there was a huge women's rights protest taking place where they kept shouting vagina, vagina, vagina.
And then think of the children.
Get through them, you have to walk through the anti-protest protest where they have giant.
Which is shouting penis, penis, penis.
I was just going to say, man.
No, they had giant blown up pictures of aborted fetuses, which was, you know, lovely. That's what you want to see on a Saturday afternoon. So we had to get through that, and I kind of think that may be why we didn't see a whole lot of police action on our protest
they were busy
monitoring that situation.
Why don't they arrest those people with the naked aborted fetus pictures for ultra kiddie porn?
I don't know. I would think they would.
Fetus porn.
Because they are naked children that are even younger than babies, so, you know, I think that should be illegal in their world.
I think I should be allowed to hit people who show me stuff like that.
That's
my
opinion. What'd you say? Wait, what'd you say?
You don't really think that.
I think I should be allowed to hit people who show me stuff like that.
Hmm.
Because they're assaulting me.
Yeah, I could see that. Are you a violent person like your dad? Do you have a long history of beating people up and getting concussions?
No, I don't have a history of it. I have a history of violently suppressing those urges.
Yeah. Your dad seems like he's become really mellow in the past few years. Is that true?
Yes, he has. It's been a very positive experience.
Cool.
We had a very strained relationship when I was younger, but it's gotten much better.
Why? Were you rebelling against him and becoming like the head of the Young Republicans at college or something?
No, I was an anarchist and he was a Republican.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's right. You fixed him, not the other way around.
Yeah. But...
Wasn't he a Ron Paul supporter, like trying to get Ron Paul elected like 30 years ago or something?
Yeah, well, I would assume so. That's what he said. I wasn't there at the time, so I don't know.
Cool. Do you get along now?
Yeah, we do.
What's he like? I mean, I kind of like, I don't idolize people at all, but, you know, I almost like idolize him in a way. Like, I look at him as not a great man, and he's the guy that turned me on to why the great man theory is wrong. But I'm kind of agnostic, but I kind of look at him as a spiritual advisor or a spiritual, like someone to look up to in a way. What's he like, man? Does he fart? Is he human? Is he human? Does your dad fart?
He has a tendency to go out into the garage.
What's he doing out there?
Moments.
For what?
He'll just randomly be like, oh, excuse me, and walk out into the garage.
Well, that's, you know, a lot of middle-aged men do that. I mean, that's what Hank Hill does, you know. His recreation is in his workshop. But is he, like, building birdhouses out there or what?
No, he used to do a lot of stuff in his garage, but it's mostly just jam-packed full of stuff now, and you can't really walk around in there.
He's just getting away from the kids.
Yeah.
Pretty much. Yeah. Well, I mean, not anymore. There aren't really any kids there, except when I show up in town and, you know, and am homeless and crash on their couch. That's the other thing I wanted to input. Speaking as input. A current homeless person who is, in fact, you know, staying on people's couches and things for a living, yes, you can stay pretty much anywhere in the world if you clean up after yourself and leave after about 3 weeks.
And clean up after them, too. Like that, you can stay a little longer. You know, if they go to work and you come home and instead of, you know, ordering fried chicken and then eating it on the couch and passing it out, you actually clean up more than just the mess you made and, like, clean their house. People love that.
That's true. You can stay with a person almost indefinitely if you clean up their house.
Without being asked. It's like any informal contract. There should be consideration, right? It can't be one-sided. So if you bring something to the table, I'm sure you can definitely find lots of opportunities.
Uh-huh. Definitely. And you know, you have to be a good conversationalist, and you have to not make them feel like they have to babysit you at all times.
Yeah. A good conversationalist knows when to not converse.
Yeah.
Yes.
Definitely. Yeah, because it's really annoying to have somebody there in your space, like, yapping at you 24/7.
Well, you know, Ben Franklin said, friends are like fish. They start to smell out. Guests are like fish. They start to smell after 3 days. That's about my limit, 3 days.
I can see that. Yeah, I have a tendency to couch jump a lot. I try not to stay in anybody's house too long.
So, do you guys want to talk about this guy that got hauled away by the Secret Service and the FBI for posting things on Facebook?
Well, you told me you just found out what he posted.
Yeah.
What did he post?
Yeah, I mean, I was really worried about this, and I'm less worried about it now. I mean, I don't think anybody should be arrested for anything they say ever, but I couldn't find his post, but someone just sent me a link to them. He's a decorated Marine named Brendan Robb, R-A-U-B, Brendan J. Robb, who was taken away Thursday or Friday night from his home by local police, FBI, and Secret Service and arrested supposedly for terroristic comments on Facebook. And I heard an interview with his mother last night, and like no one's mentioned what he wrote. And to me, it sounded like, you know, he was, I mean, I've read other stuff he wrote that was linked in this article on Freedom's Phoenix, and it sounded like typical, you know, constitution loving, we need to get back to the way America was, you know, patriot, just mellow Christian stuff, and nothing feisty. And I was thinking like, okay, if they took him away for that, we're all effed. But let me read some of his posts. This actually kind of makes me feel better because it's like, okay, he sounds like he's preparing for war. He's not just saying Obama's a big dumb head like we do, you know, like we're peaceful. Like, And this guy's a decorated Marine, which worried me too, because I was like, if they'll take away a decorated Marine, you know, ex-Marine or former Marine, they'd take us away quicker. But, you know, he says, he has a picture of him with a rifle, and he said, this is my going to war profile pic. Then he says, death is nothing but to live. Blah, 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 blah. Okay, give me freedom or give me death. Sharpen my axe. It's time to sever heads. He says, you should understand, in many things, let's see, struggle against destiny. We'll find some more of this when we get back, but the revolution will come, will be for me. Men will come to my door to pick me up and lead it. The revolution is here, and I will lead it. You know, it sounds okay. Like stuff. It's way beyond what we do. We don't do violent sounding stuff. This is violent sounding stuff.
They're war cries. Yeah. They're war cries, basically.
Yeah. And it could be figurative, but who knows? What's up, man?
Well, the major reason I was calling was to say I finally got around to watching Guns and Weed.
Cool.
And first of all, I must say, Mr. Vedabi, you have got the worst Hindi accent I've ever heard in my life.
I disagree, because I know a guy in India who saw it and thought Nemo was Indian.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Hmm. Interesting. But, yeah, it was an interesting production, though it was a little discombobulated, for lack of a better word.
Okay. How would you have made it better?
Well, to tell you the truth, I'd probably do exactly what you're doing now, you know, suggest more actual actions as opposed to just, you know, bringing up what the nature of the problem is.
Well, also, I was a constitutionalist when we made that. Nemo was already an anarchist, but I would have had a different angle for a lot of it now. But we kind of were doing an overview. There was a lot to cover too, man. A lot to cover.
Yeah.
And we wanted to make it funny and not be dry, so, you know.
Well, there's certainly no shortage of dry documentaries on that subject floating around.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, we wanted to be a little bit different.
Yeah, but, I also would have kept in more footage of that idiot who shot himself in the leg, the DEA agent.
Ah, what about that footage?
Well, the footage goes on, you know, he's trying to get order in the classroom, but it's not working. Basically, all you show in the film is just basically him going, I am the only one qualified in this room to bang.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, right. Well, that was pretty much what I wanted to call and say my thing about. Seems to have a extra busy show today.
Yeah, sure is. Let's see if we're back on yet. So somebody's writing me and saying, yeah, we're back. And somebody's saying that she was listening to the wrong feed. I think she was listening to the Fiends feed, not the LRN feed, the person that said that she was hearing us doing the commercials.
Okay, probably.
Yep. Okay. So yeah. Alright. Damn. Okay. Thanks a lot, Diana Marsh. I will write Ian now and say, oops, it was a mistake. Yeah. Who we got in line here? Who we got in line? Talk to us, sir.
Yeah, well, still me, still Miles. The other quick thing I wanted to mention was, you know how you have people call in and they're all anarchists and you can never find anyone to make any kind of a statist or even a minarchist argument? Well, I can make a minarchist argument to you. Well,
okay.
If only in terms of, the subject of passports, that the entire world, there's no way the entire world is going to go completely 100% anarchist all in one shot. And so you're going to have countries that are in some ways anarchistic, in some ways not so anarchistic, and you're still going to have something like an office of passports, probably set up on a voluntary basis. You know, you go in, you pay your fee, you get your passport, so you can still travel around the world.
Well, why is that a minarchist argument? If it's on a voluntary basis, and as long as there's no state involved, they're not being funded by tax dollars. You know, you go in, you pay the money for the passport, and that's only to get into the countries that still have a government or a state.
And if the part of the world where I lived became LibPair, why would I want to travel to somewhere that wasn't? Well, I live in Wyoming, and I won't go anywhere in America I can't bring a gun legally.
Well, I kind of have a problem with that argument. Like, I'll just stay here all the time. I mean, that's you, Michael. Yeah. But there are people that do want
to travel to have family
in other places.
My wife would really love to see Europe. I mean, all the books she reads, all the movies she reads take place in historic Europe. And, like, you know, I've stood and smoked a cigarette in the lobby of those churches in Prague. Like, she's only seen pictures of them. You know, she'd like to see them. I've passed out, you know, in front of Stonehenge and peed on it. She's only seen pictures of it, you know.
Right. Yeah, well, I guess I don't see the need for the state there. I mean, couldn't you just get a visa or some kind of document from, say we did have a world where there were some anarchist regions and some state regions. If you want to go to the state regions, you would have to play by their game. So it wouldn't be anarchy there. So you'd have to play by their rules in order to visit. But you'd be able to walk away from it. You don't have to visit.
Well, I guess this gets into the nature of the disagreement between a state as a non-voluntary and a voluntary deal, where, you know, the lefty anarchist is basically a person who says there should be no property rights and things like that, as opposed to, you know, what you guys preach. But yeah, it's I don't know. I guess I was kind of thinking about that in terms of the state as being a voluntary deal, which. Never really thought about that before very much.
Well, yeah, but, I mean, if it's voluntary, it's not really a state, right? I mean, the way I sort of define a state is the idea that there's a group of people that can control others without their consent. So a government that says, because 500 people voted this way, you don't get to smoke weed, or you don't get to drive a car without having a driver's license, or you must remit this amount of taxes to us by force because we say so. That to me is a state, because you don't contract for those kind of things. You don't voluntarily sign anything that says, yes, I will follow this.
That was one of the things in the Daily Show book, the last book the Daily Show guys wrote. They had a thing where they were talking about the nature of the social contract and how you're born into it and you're not really made aware of its details until later in life, but you are forced to obey it or else.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's it. That's it in a nutshell, right? I mean, and we've said it before. It's pretty much slavery, right? The other big thing that's in history that we think of that's a great example of the social contract is slavery. You were born into it. You never decided to pick cotton for the rest of your life and be owned by a slave master, but because you were born into it, people accept that as your birthright. That's the social contract. And that's when people talk about that in government, you know, in schools, that's what they're talking about. You don't have a decision. You don't get to opt out. You don't get to pick and choose. It's just there. And so if you have a social contract, if you have a state, that's involuntary. And so if you have a situation like you're saying where you have passports that are voluntary and you decide to do it or not, I wouldn't consider that a state kind of operation.
Hey, we got someone that has been trying to call in since the start of the show. Can we wrap it up and get him in on here? He's pestering me. You cool with that?
Yep. That's a little bit. Knives.
Knives. Call in soon, man. Thanks. All right. Chandler, call us. We will not accept another call unless it's a hot chick before you call, Chandler. So I want to talk a little more about this guy. Because this has really been bugging me. Like, I had bad dreams about this last night. You know, this guy that got taken away by the FBI and the Secret Service for posting stuff on Facebook. And he was posting cries to war, which I hate to say it, but it makes me feel better, because he wasn't hauled away for saying, like, taxation is theft. You know, he got hauled away for saying, I'm ready. The American Revolution is going to start again. I'm going to lead it. You know, stuff like that. Which I think is just talking. And whenever people post stuff like that on my wall, I delete it. And if they do it again, I block them. And the reason is, and I've said this to people who've said, why'd you block me? If I'm going to get my door kicked in, it's going to be for something I say, not for something you say. And if I'm going to get my door kicked in, it's going to be because what gets your door kicked in changes, because I'm not saying anything that could get my door kicked in right now, or even thinking anything to get my door kicked in. We're not violent people.
Fiend phone.
And
Fiend phone.
Do you concur, Nima?
Fiend phone.
Yeah,
Fiend
phone. Completely. I don't think people should be hauled away
Chandler.
That's not what we're doing. So
yeah,
it's not as much a chilling effect as you were worried about. You know,
yeah.
Like like in England, where you can just tweet or Facebook message anti-war stuff, like F the troops, they're not fighting for my freedom, they're just killing brown people. It's not that bad here yet. Yeah.
So what's up, Chandler? You are the most persistent fiend that's ever tried to call in, and we respect you for that. What's up, man?
You mean the biggest pain in the ass?
Nah, man. We're good. We had to hang up on people to get you on. What's up?
I just wanted to talk about internet security a little bit. I really like the show you guys did. I think it was last week.
So let me ask you first, was your friend Diana listening to the wrong feed?
Yeah.
So we're not being heard over the commercials, right?
Right. Okay. No, she clicked on the Listen Live on the Fiend's website. Okay. That's why I asked you guys about that.
All right. So she was listening to the wrong feed, and then the other guy that was confirming what she said just said he's really baked on marijuana. So we were relying on wrong information and stoned information. I mean, I was sending emails, like I was trying to call Ian, like, hey man, get back to the station and fix it, you know? Damn humans. Is that her in the background?
No, we got a family birthday party thingy here, and they're all rocking outside.
Cool.
So I don't know. I have a friend who's been really harping on the internet security for about a year with me, and I'm finally just starting to get into it, and I do think it's really important. I will say that I did like Bola VPN enough where I actually went out and paid for a subscription past the trial you guys gave me. And it is awesome. Cool. One thing I would just bring to note, though, and I'm sure all the tech guys out there know this, when you use that, it will, you know, mask your IP and all that stuff, but it doesn't mask your machine ID number.
I was wondering about that. Like, is MAC number given out by a lot of things to a lot of places?
I'm not sure, and I think actually I may be wrong, but there's a machine ID number and then there's your MAC address number, and those are two different things because your MAC address comes from your router.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, that's why I think people who really, really want tons of security get like computers that'd be the equivalent of buying, you know, an untraceable serial numbered gun, you know.
Right. Well, you can get a Linux white box and just get on the net with that, you know.
Yep. Well, we're going to keep you on for after we go sell some things here. For the last segment. Computer security is good. You should also use two different browsers. You should use one that's never logged in, and not Internet Explorer when you're using VPNs. Yeah, worms.
Doing the same thing that the Raw Milk Riders did out in D.C. Saturday, and just doing it at our Capitol Park, our local park. And just getting people down there to, you know, exchange goods, foods, and do it all, you know, a voluntary and or free basis.
Okay.
So
okay.
I'm going to try to organize that.
Kind of like an anarchy, kind of like an anarchy swap meet.
Yeah. Yeah. And I have a couple of friends that were like, oh, well, we have to go to the state and get permission and do this and that.
No.
And I was like, nope. Nope.
That's kind of the point, guys. Yeah. Well, that's awesome. Where's that at geographically?
I'd like to get it in Capitol Park in Augusta. It's the capital of Maine, and it's a big park right in front of the state building. So.
Okay. Yeah, I think that's a great idea.
But yeah.
Now, what kind of? Yeah. Go ahead on that. Well, that's sort of been our theme lately. What else did you want to say about internet security and how you feel about the VPNs?
Well, I like the VPNs a lot, and I think it would be beneficial for more people to use them. And it goes back to that idea of even if you're not doing anything wrong, more of us that make the state's job harder, the better, you know? And I want to start getting into the encryption in the emails. I think that's really important. I've looked into a few different things.
We have two interviews coming up on Anarchy Gumbo the next two Saturdays. They're interviews with guys who are experts on that.
Yeah,
We've also found a peer-to-peer thing that you can use for email called RetroShare.
That's funny. I was just going to ask you about that because I was on the Mental Militia forums today, and I checked that out. I downloaded it, so I was wondering if you guys had tried it out yet.
Well, send us your PGP key and we'll add you in and do some chatting about it on it.
Okay. I still got to figure out how to run it. I just set it up and generated my key and all that. So
where does your key show up? Someone walked me through it, and Nima can't find his.
Well, I'm on a Mac, too, so it'll probably
be different. It's pretty similar, but where did you find your key?
Well, I had when I installed the program and ran it the first time, it said, please generate, you know, type. It generated a key, and I had to type my password to confirm it.
Nima didn't do that, did you, Nima?
No, mine did that, but I sent you what I thought it was.
Yeah, maybe you
that
sent wasn't me it. Something that was like 8 characters long. The key is like 400 characters long.
Well, if you go on to the RetroShare Frequently Asked Questions wiki, it tells you, I think it's under add something or other. And when you add friends, it'll show you, it's a digital certificate, which is like your key, and you have to send that to your friends, and then you verify it. Yeah.
Cool.
So, hey, have you guys checked out Bitwise yet? I know I've been pestering you about that.
No, what is it?
It's an encrypted IM. And you can send files, you can do voice chats, and it's all encrypted. There's a free version, which is good. The free version has 128-bit encryption. And if you want to pay, I don't remember how much it is, you can get like up to 512-bit encryption. I think there's varying levels. My friends and I just use the free version for now. But it's pretty good.
You know, we have another VPN that's a sponsor now, too, that's actually cheaper and has higher bitrate encryption. It's metropipe.net/fiends.
Really?
Yeah, so when yours runs out, if you want to try that, try it. Don't run them both at the same time and don't have the software for both running at the same time. It can cause problems. But the Metro, the other one, Bola, has the advantage of having more servers to choose from. Yep.
And I usually just, most of the time, I just do fully routed. But I've noticed for a couple of things, I've had to do specific servers. Every once in a while, I'll do a Canada server, you know. But
why
for
Canada?
The most part.
Because why not?
Yeah, basically.
Yeah.
I mean, there's you know, different reasons, geographic and stuff. But I do like Canada's. It seems to run a little bit faster.
Isn't there part of Maine that wants to, like, secede America and join Canada?
Oh,
really?
Probably.
Far up north near the border?
Yeah, there's a few people up there that do. And Quebec, which is right above us, they want to secede from Canada and be their own country.
Well, I am English and French-Canadian by derivation, so I guess that's in my blood.
Yep. Yeah, well, if you live in Maine, you know, a lot of people, a good chance is you have French-Canadian and Indian far enough back. I mean, both sides of my family have French-Canadian.
I'm the only person I know from upstate New York that, like, wasn't told as a kid that, yes, you're great, you know, you're related to Pocahontas. No. I'm not Indian.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think we have any of that.
A lot of little girls are told that by their parents in those regions for some reason.
That they're related to Pocahontas?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's that fairy tale complex thing.
Aren't you, Nima, part Native American?
On my mom's side, I'm part Native American. Like her grandma or her great grandma or something had a baby with a Native American.
Didn't we do a cast about having you apply for a casino license and starting the meth and crocodile naughty nursey tranny hooker free zone, autonomous zone?
Something to that effect, yeah. That was the fantasy. But I think that was before we discovered crocodiles, so we'll have to fold that into the business plan now.
That'd be a hell of a casino.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. Not much for the one thing.
Be good for business, too. I bet when you're on crocodile, you're pretty loose with your wallet, more so than alcohol.
Well, when your arm's rotting off, you know, you don't really think for tomorrow.
Can't hold on to your wallet physically.
You live for today.
Yeah.
Excellent.
In Soviet Russia, drug consumes you.
Yeah.
No. I'll let somebody else call in if they want. I just I think you guys are right on with the internet security and stressing that. I see a lot of people going in a lot of different directions, and I think that's something that all of us should incorporate, no matter what those directions are.
I think they should do what I do, which is just talk on Skype with your middle-aged body showing with your shirt off, and then just no one wants to tap your phone calls.
That's not a bad idea.
That's what me and Eddie do. Eddie looks better than me with his shirt off, though. Diana's calling. We're going to get Diana for 1 minute here, man. Get her apology.
All right, later, guys.
All right,
have a good day.
Get her apology.
Diana, you've been a bad, bad girl. You messed us up, man. I was like calling Ian Freeman and saying, everything's messed up. What's going on? Okay, what's up?
Oh,
what's
my
up,
God.
Diana?
I am so sorry. I was calling to publicly apologize for my moment of panic.
I don't know if you heard. I just got Chandler off really quick, and I said, Diana's calling to apologize. We're going to take this call. You're forgiven.
Thank you very much. Love the show today, guys. You're hitting all the topics that I really wanted to talk about. So very cool. I appreciate it.
Excellent.
All right.
Excellent.
Thanks for calling, Diana.
All right, guys. Yeah, take care.
Take care. Bye. We've had more women call in today than we have in the history of the Fiends.
Oh, I guess so. Yeah, she's the third woman, huh?
Yep, three women.
Wow.
Yep.
In one show.
Yeah,
That's amazing.
Yeah. And we've had a lot of people calling that we've talked to that we know, which is kind of cool.
Like Nikki said, more vagina is always a good thing.
yep.
vagina. Come on, chant it with me. No.
And then the conservatives were yelling, penis.
Oh, all those conservatives with penis in their mouths.
Santorum. Shame. America's covered in Santorum.
Covered in Santorum.
Wasn't that the name of an episode?
It was.
Well, this one.
Great episode pick, too. It was Santorum with what was it? A microphone as a penis?
Microphone sticking in his mouth out of someone's pants. Yeah.
Yeah.
Today's episode is called Stacking Mad Bitcoin Bitches. So if you're on Bitcoin, send us some Bitcoin. I don't think we got any Bitcoin donations during. Well, my wallet's still updating, so we don't know yet. And if you send us Bitcoin, it's anonymous. So if you want us to know and or say you sent it, send an email and say what time and date you sent it. Because otherwise, we're not going to know who sent it. I got four donations and three of them I don't know who sent.
Well, that's fine. If people want to stay anonymous when they're donating to the Fiends, we've got no problem with that.
But just letting people know if they're new to it, we don't know who sends it. It's not like PayPal, which is the point of it.
Yeah.
But, you know.
I kind of think they know that if they're that into Bitcoin, that they're donating through Bitcoin.
Yeah. Yeah, so what are you going to do today, Nima, the rest of your day, other than talk to me on the phone?
You know, I'm still recovering from my trip to the Guadalupe Mountains, so I'll probably just hang out and have a nice vacation from my vacation, and then start working on Fiend stuff again on Monday.
Yeah, that's what you said the last 8 vacations when you got back.
It is.
I mean, I've basically been like running the thing all summer, and then you come in to do the show, and then I don't talk to you for 2 weeks.
Yeah, sorry about that. Well, summer's almost over, so I don't know.
Maybe but then winter sports come, and you're going to be like going to Park City to snow or to ski or something. All right. It's been a good Fiends.
Maybe.
Man.
It has been a good Fiends. Thanks, Michael, as always.
Yeah. Yeah.
Worms.
I'm a worm-eating statist, apparently.
The fake worm-eating statist.
Yep. Worms.